Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. This evening, we are going to speak about the Isser known as Chadash. It is Parshas Emor this coming Shabbos. My bar mitzvah Parsha, should be noted, my Hebrew birthday is almost upon us. Tet Iyar, I was born on Mother's Day also. May 14th is a Sunday. So exciting time of year for me in general. And what's less exciting is to find out that things you always assumed were kosher may not in fact be kosher. So just to preface, we generally assume that anything with like OU on it is kosher. And in our community, we associate things like Chalav Yisrael as reserved for, let's say, the particularly pious. And Yashan as well is reserved for those who are like a step or two up from the average. So this evening, we're going to discuss this concept of when you see on a package Kemach Yashan, that the wheat is Yashan, i.e., as opposed to Chadash, Yashan meaning old, Chadash meaning new. And we're going to explore this. This will try to clarify a little bit what it means, and then practically try to conclude whether or not it makes sense that most people assume that this is more like reserved for like the elite, quote unquote, firmer, Jews, and a regular Jew from the modern Orthodox community can basically more or less ignore the very existence of this Isser. So let's see if we have like an appropriate approach, or maybe we're not as sensitive as we should be. So the Torah in Berachot Gimel Yadalad says, "V'lechem right? So the grain should not be eaten until this day. Out of Yechem is korban elokeichem kukas alam adorazem b'chol moshevoseichem. So I underline the words b'chol moshevoseichem, because those are going to be the words that Chazal pick up on. But essentially, any grain, we're going to assume the five grains, you may not eat of them until what? Until what? Ad Havyachem is Korban. So on the 16th day of Nisan, the second day of Pesach, what Korban was brought? The Korban Omer. And the Torah says black on white that one may not eat from the new crop until the Korban Omer is brought. Okay, very nice. And then the Torah says to count the Omer, specifically from that day of bringing the Korban Omer. Very nice. Okay. So in the context of the Korban Omer, we learn about this Isser of Chadash, as it's called. All right. Now, logically, if I were to tell you that there's a prohibition not to eat from certain grains unless the Korban Omer was brought, should that Isser only apply in Eretz Yisrael, or should that apply everywhere? What would you say? What's the rule of thumb generally? So we have a rule of thumb in Mishnah Maseches Kedushin called Mitzvah Shi Tluya Ba'aretz Eino Nagez Ela Be'aretz Yisrael. If there's an agricultural based mitzvah like Truma Ma'aser or Shemitah, etc., so those mitzvahs are limited to the land of Israel. V'she'ena Tluya Ba'aretz Nagez Be'en Ba'aretz Ben Chos La'aretz. But Tefillin, Shabbos, Kashrus, anything that has nothing to do with agriculture, but the Gemara refers to what a Chovas Aguf, right? So those are not limited to the land of Israel. So therefore, what would you say about this mitzvah? Don't eat from the grains until the 16th day of Nisan. What would you say? Is that limited to Israel or not? Yeah, it's very much connected to ground. Oh, so very good. So not only should it only be limited to Israel, it should seemingly only be limited to the times when the Korban Omer was brought. You're not allowed to eat what we call Chadash until the Korban Omer is brought. Nowadays, we don't even have such a Korban Omer. So maybe the whole Isser falls by the wayside. That's a very good point. And we will see that as such a shita. So there are exceptions to this rule. Even though Orla, right, you can't eat the fruit of a tree for that grows in the first 3 years. Similarly, Kalayim, right, when it comes to planting grapes and wheat alike. So you're not allowed to do that even in Chutz La'aretz. But Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af min ha-chadash. One of the other exceptions to this rule is Chadash. Namely, even though this is seemingly an agricultural mitzvah, it's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, that you can't eat from the new grain that grows from the ground, but that would apply to grain that grows in America or anywhere else as well. Even though you would have expected it to be limited to Israel, it's not limited to Eretz Israel. Good. Okay, what about the Tanna Kamma? What did the Tanna Kamma hold? Rabbi Eliezer came to say that Chadash applies outside of Eretz Israel. What about the Tanna Kamma? Right? The Tanna Kamma, the first opinion of Mishnah, never said that Chadash was included in the exceptions, right? The rule of thumb was any mitzvah that's associated with the ground and agricultural land doesn't apply in Israel. All right, there are two exceptions. What were the exceptions? Orla and Kalayim. So would the Tana Kama therefore say that Chadash only applies in Israel? What would you say? Logically, the Tana Kama should say that Chadash only applies in Israel because he did bring two exceptions. He said the two exceptions to the rule, Orla and Kalayim. If he would have felt, like Rabbi Eliezer, that Chadash is also an exception to the rule, he should have said there are three exceptions. However, the Gemara actually has two opinions about this matter. The Gemara wants to know, when Rabbi Eliezer came and said, well, Chadash also applies in Chutz La'aretz, does he come to disagree with the first opinion? Or does he come to agree with the first opinion and just, you know, be a little bit more lenient, ironically? Again, we're not going into the whole Gemara. But ultimately, the Gemara concludes that the first opinion in the Mishnah was that of Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that any time the Torah says the word Moshav, Moshvosechem, as it does in this mitzvah, that ironically is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. Because what did the Torah say? The Torah said that when you can't eat from the new crop, it applies Bechol Moshvosechem, in all of your dwelling places. So Rabbi Eliezer says Bechol Moshvosechem, in all of your dwelling places. That would include those dwelling places even outside of Israel. So although generally agriculturally based mitzvahs are limited to Israel, but here the Torah says black on white that Chadash applies B'chol Moshe Voseichem, and if we live in Fairlawn, New Jersey, that is our Moshav, so Chadash applies here as well. Okay? Who disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel has a different reading. Rabbi Shmuel says B'chol Moshe Voseichem is actually ironically a reference to Israel. So what does it mean, all of your dwelling places? It's a reference to the fact that you can't include it in Israel unless there has already been Yerusha v'yeshiva, meaning namely when we conquered Israel, it took 14 years to have kibush v'chiluk. So not until those 14 years passed and the Jews were really settled in their actual moshavs in the land of Israel, so not until that point did these mitzvahs apply. Yeah, very good, very good. So that Stuart's already thinking like Gemara. So you have to go, what? Yeah. So Stuart's pointing out that, well, it's not so true, right? You have to really go through the Torah really well and really comb it. Yeah, no, Rabbi Shmuel is the one that says the word Moshav is ironically a reference to Israel. Rabbi Eliezer is, yeah. Right, so no, of course not. And in fact, that's the next line of the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says, you didn't have to apologize. He said, all right, what about Shabbos? Shabbos. You're going to say that Shabbos only applies in Israel. It says Moshvos and by Shabbos, and that doesn't... But essentially every mitzvah is going to need their own analysis. I mean, obviously Shabbos is not limited to Israel, even though the word, you know, the Shoresh of Moshav is associated with the mitzvah of Shabbos. But again, Stuart, he asked a very, very sharp question. But, you know, for the sake of simplicity and time, let's just understand that the conclusion of the Gemara is that there are two opinions. Rabbi Eliezer holds that Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz. However, the Tana Kama, which is discovered to be Rabbi Shmuel, holds that Chadash does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem. So all of a sudden, if I'm asking you, well, is there any justification to eat Oreos all year round? So let's play this out for a second, right? All right, so let's pick, fat-free Oreos. What's your issue? First of all, the Nabisco factory is like a 10-minute walk from here. Wow. You know, Al-Avashalom. Right, so, you know, let's not pick on our local industry. That being said, Zadie's Bakery. So Zadie's Bakery, right, everyone loves Zadie. By the way, Mother's Day yesterday. I was on the line before 8:30 a.m. out the door. I dive in the 7th. There was some early minion here on Sunday mornings. Oh, I mean, you were the chazan, all right? So 7:30 a.m. I zip to Zadie's. The line's already out the door. But Baruch Hashem, I got what I needed. It's just amazing how that place is they're under the Star K. And the Star K, you sure it's all Yashan? Yeah, really? I know on their label it says Pas Yisrael. I wasn't sure about Yashan. But you're confident. Okay, so that's what they say Pas Yisrael, that I know. Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting. All right, we'll have to talk up to Josh. I wonder if they are. I don't know if they advertise it. Even if they... Yeah, so very good. So yeah, let's just play it out. So again, what does yashin mean? That means whatever mizonos product you're eating, barley, spelt, rye, and you know, the five grains, you're confident that it was in the ground and it took root after Pesach. Sorry. It took root before Pesach. Before Pesach. It took root before Pesach. That's what I meant to say. So let's say you're eating a Zadie's cookie in the month of February. When do you think that wheat took root in the ground? If you're eating a cookie in February. Before Pesach? In February? Oh, but I'm just saying, logically, I would have assumed that if I'm eating March, let's say it's mamish, really close to Pesach, is the cookie that I'm eating now, was that wheat not in the ground since after last Pesach? So after Pesach, you plant wheat. When does that wheat hit the stores as products? Okay, so that's a big deal. So hear what you're saying. That means all of the food in the stores that amount of time after Pesach would be usher, because all of that wheat was planted after Pesach, and it is not permissible to be eaten until the next Pesach. Right? You're only allowed to eat food that was grown before Pesach and then eat it after Pesach. But anything that was grown after Pesach cannot be consumed until after the next Pesach. So that would mean, you know, we'll have to learn the details and the timeline of how these kosher industries work. But imagine putting a cookie into your mouth in February, and you know for a fact that that wheat was grown, harvested, all after Pesach, which means the Korban Omer, that calendar date, never passed yet. With the lifetime of that product, that would be what we call chadash. It'd be the sort of chadash. It'd be aser. So we have to figure out why that is not aser, why we don't revoke hashkacha in certain months of the year. But the first inkling of leniency is this machlokas tanan, because whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that chadash applies in chutz la'aretz, Rabbi Shmuel holds that it does not. And the million-dollar question is going to be, who do you paskin like? And is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So we have a problem. There's an explicit Mishnah in Orla that says Hachadash Aser Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. Is that not a knockout punch? Have you ever heard of one? Why did that just say black on white? Hachadash Aser Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. That's right. So what that basically just said is that I don't care where you are in the world, whether it's Fair Lawn or Yerushalayim. The Isser Chadash is the same whether you are in Israel or outside of Israel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and there's no one who disagrees with this opinion in this Mishnah. So we call this a Stam Mishnah. That is a significant amount of weight in Halacha, where there is no dissenting view in this Mishnah. It just says black on white, the Chadash is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. But there's another source in Shas. So there is a machlokas in the Meseches Menachos, Samaches Amibes. And here we have, on one hand, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, they ate Chadash when? Be'orsa deshisrei nagi shivsar. Kasavri Chadash b'chutz la'aretz dirabanan. So we assume that even though there is no Korban Omer, the calendar date still plays the major significance with regards to the laws of Yashan, laws of Chadash, which means you're not allowed to eat Chadash. Any new crop cannot be eaten until the 16th day of Nisan. Okay, very good. So what did Rav Papa and Rav Huna do? They waited until the 16th day of Nisan was over, and then they ate their Chadash. Very nice. What about in Chutz La'aretz, where we are suspicious for like a 2-day Yantif? So when should you have to wait? The 16th day of Nisan is great, but we assume in Chutz La'aretz that the 17th day of Nisan might really be the 16th day of Nisan. It's very good. So it's a suffix. So you know what? They held, we don't have to hold of the suffix because this is only a din de Rabbanan. However, Rabbanan de Rav Ashi, they waited an additional day because, hey, it's a suffix de Oraisa. Because they hold Chadash b'Chutz La'aretz D'oraisa. Wow. And the most strict opinion is quoted in this Gemara where Ravina says, interestingly, in the name of his mother, Amri li aim avuch lo havi achel chadash ele beorsa deshvasar nagi tamnisar. Meaning your father, Ravina, would be machmir. He wouldn't eat chadash not on the 16th, but he would wait the additional day. He would wait for the 17th of Nisan, i.e. to treat this like a suffik derabana, I mean deraisa. Whoa. Because if you have a suffik derabana, okay, you can be lenient, but if you have a suffik deraisa, you don't have to be machmir. So what I want to draw from that Gemara in Maseches Menachos is that Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is a machlokes. Is it De'oraisa or is it De'rabbanan? So, so far this evening, we have learned that there's a prohibition in the Torah known as Chadash. If grain grows after Pesach, it may not be eaten until the next Pesach. And there's a machlokes whether or not that is limited to Eretz Yisrael or not. And now we have a second machlokes. Even if you're going to argue that it expands outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's a further machlokes whether the Isser of Chadash outside of Israel is a din de'oraisa or a din midirabbanan. So, worst case scenario, we're dealing with an Isser midirabbanan. Very might well be. And who paskins like it is an Isser midirabbanan? The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. Those are the biggest three poskim in the Rishonim in our history. Which means, Robert, have you ever eaten Zadie's Bakery in the month of February before? Yeah. Have you ever clapped Al Chet on Yom Kippur? I would certainly hope so. No. So why am I saying that? Number one, it's 8:41 p.m. You know, on a Monday night, everyone needs a little bit of a, but Robert, you're good. You're clean. And I know for a fact that you're good. That being said, you clap Al Chet for me on Yom Kippur. But obviously, we have a real problem here. And the Rambam says, V'chol ha'ochel kizayis chadash kodem krevas ha'omer, lokem in a Torah b'chol makom v'chol zman be'eretz bein b'chus la'aretz bein b'fnei ha'bayis bein shalom b'fnei ha'bayis. So the Rambam, this has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. This has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Chadash is an isimid araisa. Period. So if you were to have a kizayis of barley in the month of February, and that barley was only in the ground originally after Pesach, he violated an isimid araisa. So gluten-free, at least starting in the month of November or so, whenever this problem begins, whenever the products have been grown after Pesach. Right now is the easiest time of year, because by definition, any Mizonos products that we're eating, you know, I'm speaking to you in the month of Tet Iyar or so. So ultimately, we're talking about everything by definition has been grown before Pesach. So the only difference is, okay, so when we had the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Omer was the starting point to be lenient. Nowadays, it's no longer the Korban Omer, it's a calendar date. So we wait for the end of the 16th or the end of the 17th, so there's no more Korban. Yeah. Very nice. That's a different Gemara, what the Matir is. So we assume, there's an explicit Gemara, same Gemara Menachos over there, that what is the Matir? Is it the sunrise, whatever, but we don't want to confuse people if Mashiach were to come. So ultimately, let's assume that the sunrise... The Gemara does ask a question. The sunrise seemingly is the matir. The sunrise of the 16th of Nisan, seemingly.
Unless you have a Korban Omer, and then it's the Korban Omer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, but on a practical level, we wait for the end of the day. Or the Rambam says there are three different areas that if there was a Mikdash, well, when the Korban was brought, great. And the people that were a little farther away, they'd wait till Chatzos. And then a little farther away, they'd wait the whole day. But nowadays, we basically go by calendar date. So it's either the 16th day, you have to wait till the 16th day of Nisan to end, or the 70th day of Nisan to end, based on Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. So we're pretty stuck right now. There's very little flexibility right now, because the Rambam just paskened that Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz on a Daraisa level. That means you would never be able to put Mizonos into your mouth until you were certain when it grew. That would be a very, very hard thing to do. Imagine eating a bowl of Cheerios, and you need to know when that wheat was grown. And it's not so easy to find a box of Cheerios starting in the month of October, November, December. Yeah. So oats, yeah, that would be included. Yeah, so let's assume it are. Let's assume, Chamish Mei Nedarga, and oats, granted, there's a lot of discussion what they really are. All right, whatever. I like Quaker Squares. Excellent. So Peter says, wait a minute, maybe it's not the same. If it's a Jewish owned or non-Jewish owned, excellent. It will make a huge difference. Very good. And at this point, though, but imagine having to live like that. You would need to know exactly where your grain was grown and when it grew. So that's the Rambam. There is another Rishon known as the Orzarua. The Or Zarua starts by quoting the Rif, who paskins like the Rambam, that Chadash applies equally in Chutz La'aretz. You know why? Because there's an explicit Mishnah, like we said, that Chadash just applies in Chutz La'aretz. And then, you know what question the Or Zarua asks? Our question. He does not ask a halachic shada. He asks on the second line of the Or Zarua, he says, V'teima, ho'el v'chadash no'ig b'chutz la'aretz v'no'ig nami b'shel akum, like Peter's question, it applies equally to the grain of non-Jews and Jews. Heach anu konim tvua min ha'akum. How in the blazes are you going to ever buy grain from a non-Jew? V'loch ha'shin al-chadash. So bishlama tvua shenizra lefnei ha'omer, v'nishra lefnei ha'omer. You want to buy food this time of year. It was all harvested, all grown before Pesach. Asi shapir. That's fine. Shanu konim tvua min ha'akum v'ochlin. Aval tvua shenizra le'achar ha'omer. But any grain that was planted in the summer, that's inisra chadash. Oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. So he says the following, underlined. V'nir be'enai ani ha-mechaber lifsok halacha techadash chutz la'aretz durabanan. This is going to be the game changer. The Or Zarua, as opposed to the Rambam, the Or Zarua is a Rishon, he paskins that the Isser of chadash in chutz la'aretz is only on a durabanan level, not a daraisa level. And you know why? Because there's another mission in Shas. There's another mission in Shas. What's that mission said? If you want to bring a korban mincha, right, from flour, right, a korban mincha in the base of Mikdash, where does that flour need to come from? So the Mishnah says, well, it could come from Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, except for Chadash. Sorry, mina Chadash mina Yashan, Chutz mina Omer u'shteh alechem. So what's the difference? The Omer and the Shteh alechem. So from the very fact that the Mishnah makes a distinction between the grain of Eretz Yisrael and the grain of Chutz La'aretz, so what does that tell you? That clearly the concept of Chadash in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael are not the same. They're not the same. So ultimately, if the Mishnah makes a distinction where it says, no, when it comes to the Korban Omer, the Shteh Lechem, you need to bring from the new wheat that grew in Eretz Yisrael, meaning the Mishnah already made a distinction. Yeah, 100%, 100%. The lechem, what do you mean by that, Jerome? Oh, no, yeah, no, yeah, that's different. Yeah, lechem, yeah, that's different. Right. So, the Rambam saw this Mishnah, and again, is this the most compelling argument in the world? Or Zarua was Or Zarua. If you learn that Mishnah, the Mefarshei Mishnah and the Gemara, that will, again, I don't want to comment on the Or Zarua's alumnus on this Gemara, but ultimately, let's just say the Rambam knew this Mishnah. No, I'll just leave it there. The Gemara over there and Menachos does discuss it. Very good, very good, very good, very good. So again, there are a couple of different Shilas. Again, for the sake of time, at 8:48 p.m., let's just say this Mishnah drew a distinction between the Isser Chadash outside of Eretz Yisrael and inside Eretz Yisrael. That's the point to take home. And there are Gdolei Poskim, and we're showing him here, who think that that is a Mefurish Mishnah, which says that Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is the Rabbanan. Again, there's a lot there. There's a lot there, and there's a real Gemara Ian Shir. We'd have to spend like an hour in that Gemara learning those lines. And ultimately, the Or Zarua says, V'lav, V'lo itmar hilchas alo kamar v'lo kamar. There's no psak clearly in Shas about this, and the Tanaim disagree, the Marim disagree. And therefore, you can say it's a suffix. He says, "Ulesveik aloch hashinan." So he wants to say, "Elavadai osam yisraelim sheish lam sados b'chutz la'aretz." So ultimately, the Jews who own land in Chutz La'aretz, so that is a problem. That's a problem. So what's he make on? What's he make on? Only goy shalom, because he wants to say that chadash Chutz La'aretz is the rabbanan. So therefore, what you could be lenient only on a suffix. So all the Or Zarua was, all he said was that you can be leaning on a suffix. So that means if you're a Jew and you know exactly when your crop is growing, you better not be lenient. That's not okay. So anything that's planted after Pesach can't be eaten until the next Pesach.
What about
the Jews
who itself? Like in February,
yeah, in Israel. Right, the nature of the agriculture in Israel I don't know about it actually. So ultimately, yes. So seemingly, Robert, yes. All Eretz Yisrael Mizonos products, we would argue, are Yashan, right? Because the halacha we're saying is more strict there.
That's not what Safek Derabbanan means.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Safek Derabbanan doesn't mean you don't know when the wheat was harvested. It means for sure you know the wheat was harvested after Pesach. But the whole question of whether it's a chiyuv not to eat it, that's a Safek Derabbanan. So that's why it's not for you to follow it.
Right. So he's saying that on a practical level, you can hold that Chadash and Chutzlars is a Derabbanan. Right. So that means if you know it's Aser, it's Aser Midrabanan. And if you're not sure if it's Aser, you can rely on the fact that a Safek Derabbanan, you could be Mako.
No, it's a Safek if it's Aser. So that makes it.
No,
Chadash, but it's a Safek if it's Aser.
No, it's certainly Aser. The question is it Aser Midrabanan Midoraisa? Right? No one has said that it's mutter yet, right? The Orzara, all he said was that it's mutter. I mean, all he said is the Safek Midrabanan.
Yeah, whether it's mutter or aser, it's Safek
Midrabanan. No, it's a shaila whether or not the iser outside of Israel is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabanan. So he wants to say it's d'rabanan. So therefore, you can be makel in a suffix. So let's just hold that in our back pocket for a second. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's aser lechol chadash from the five grains until the 16th of Nisan. And if you live in Chutz La'aretz, the 17th, right? So that means you can't eat the new grain until the 17th of Nisan is over. And the Paskins, Isser Chadash, Noik, Bein Ba'aretz, Bein Chutz La'aretz. Bein Michelle Yisrael, Bein Michelle Ovdei Kochavim. So there it is. Yeah. Yeah. We're good for now. We're good for now, right. We're good for now until... Well, no, we're good for now until when? Until October, November. Right. So that's the question. If you were to plant wheat today, so let's try it again. They're heterim. Don't worry. But I wanted to point out that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. The Ramah does say that if you're not sure, you can be lenient. You know, similar to what we were just saying in the Orzei Ruah. And if you're not sure when it grew, so you can be lenient. Okay, he has a famous sefek, it's a double sefek, whatever, not for now. But ultimately, the Shulchan Aruch is machmer, both in Yerudeya and in Hilchos Pesach. So we have got to figure this out. So like the Or Zeruah, who basically approached the sugya and is like, I don't really know how we can be lenient, because we need to be lenient, because like, you need to eat. So the Aruch HaShulchan, he does a lot of... Beer is a big problem.
No, it's true.
I know. Yeah, so the Aruch HaShulchan comes along and he says the following. Again, there's a long, long Aruch HaShulchan. In Yoridei Reish HaDigimel. He wants to say, listen, well, I saw the Or Zeruah, he writes. And he says, so that teaches you that the din is a din derabanan. Okay, so then he writes, okay, Ulu Devarim Isra Chadash Tale BeOmer. So you know what you can say? The Mamakum She'ein Mevin Omer Sham Ein HaChadash Noheg. Ooh. So they want to say, like what AB wanted to argue all along, that you can argue that the reason why it's not a Din D'Oraisa is because there's no more Korban Omer. So there's no more Korban Omer. There's no longer a Din D'Oraisa of Chadash. And then he says, this is the Chadash. Get ready. Buckle up. Here's the Chadash. Once you have an issue with the Rabbanan, you have a little bit more wiggle room in the halacha. He says, well, if it's a din de Rabbanan, it's obvious, hadavar pashut, that when the Rabbanan made their gezeira, their rabbinical decree, shelo gazra amedinos harachokos me'eretz Yisrael. They only enacted this decree on those locations close to Eretz Yisrael. So really, midoraisa, this is only applies in Israel. And the rabbis extended it to those places outside of Israel, but only the places that are close to Israel, which means it does not include Fairmont, New Jersey. So the rabbis only wanted to protect the Din D'Oraisa. And therefore, if you're an Egyptian, you're a Bavel, okay, you got to be careful. But not in Fairmont, New Jersey. Yeah, that's right. Right. Hey, where do you get that? It's a Truman Meiser. So is that in there? Aruch HaShulchan's not making it up. He says that the Chol Shemitzos Atzilus Baretz, we know. he says when the Rabbanan made it, Lo gazer rakam, there's a korovas ayzrokam, but shumos and maisros. So he says, all right, chala is different. Chala applies everywhere, but that's because chala is different for whatever reason. And then he wants to say, so he wants to argue that there is no Isser of Chadash at all in New Jersey. Because it only, number one, is only Midrabanan. And number two, the Isser Midrabanan is limited to those locations near Israel. So if you're a Jew and you own a farm and you don't live near Israel, you're good. You're good. Because the Isser Midrabanan doesn't apply to you. So if you were to have a Hamish farm in upstate New York, you're good. Yash Chadash doesn't apply to you. Doesn't apply. It's not even an Isser Midrabanan. Wow. So that changed the world. Meaning, you had an Isser Midrabanan in the Rambam, seemingly in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Aruch HaShulchan, there's a lot of halachic surgery to try to justify the minhag. He says everyone's eating wheat and all the grains. No one seems to care too much about this Isser, so I got to figure something out. And the Mishnah Brura. Right. That's a nice way of saying it, Stuart. Right. So he said, the Aruch HaShulchan say that, you know, that, you know, clearly the Gedolim didn't oppose it for a reason. Now, the Mishnah Brura doesn't have such a different conclusion, but he has a very different tone. The Mishnah Brura, he writes these similar heterim. He says, like the Aruch HaShulchan, well, you could argue that maybe it's in the Rabbana, number one. You could argue that it only applies to those places in the area of Israel. You could argue that it doesn't apply to lands that are owned by a non-Jew, like Peter wanted to say, right? So again, all these different things, right? The Bach, he's the one who says that it only applies to Jewish lands, not non-Jewish lands, right? That's the other heter, that it only applies to Jewish-owned farms, but not non-Jewish-owned farms. That's the shita of the Bach. But then he concludes and he says, okay, I just justified what everyone's doing. He says, he says, I don't like this heter. You should be machmer, im efshar. So his conclusion is like this. Yeah, I could also be very smart. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Brura are both really smart. They came up with these halachic heterim, but the Aruch HaShulchan was very proud of his heterim. He's like, it's totally fine. The Mishnah Brura had the same heterim, and he's like, but I'm not into this. I don't like this heterim. Meaning, try to be machmer if you can. And he says, by the way, now we have trains, and I know that a lot of our wheat is imported now from Russia. And he's like, and I know that all the Russian wheat is grown in the summer after Pesach, i.e. it's all usher. He's like, I don't like this stuff. So if you were to conclude, you have whom to rely on, and the OU is Mako, right? The OU will give their OU on their Mizonos products all year round. It's not like they revoke their hashkacha on whatever pastries, you know, all of a sudden starting in November. They don't do that. And the OU, you know, in Rav David Gorelick has an article online. It's really amazing how much Mesiras Nefesh that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik put into this, where he tried to convince bakeries in Chicago to go Yashan. And there was a wonderful Jew. They now write in Le'ilo Nishmas Rabbi Herman. I put a link in the Mamar Komos. The Starkei actually has a Yashan checklist, meaning they actually tell you what's Yashan and what's not and how to be like an educated consumer if you want to be machmer for Yashan. It is a little bit challenging to be machmir for Yashin. I'll just tell you two quick stories. You know, one time one of my friends wanted to be machmir, and his wife said, let's try for like a year maybe. And ultimately they stocked up on a lot of food in like the month of October while all of those grains were still from before Pesach. And then eventually what his wife had to buy were like, you know, 5 months worth of cereal in the month of November, and it wasn't so pleasant, you know, and ultimately they kind of... It wasn't going to happen. Yeah, that's another problem. When you store wheat, yeah, there's an issue. Another story, again, there was someone at my Shabbos table who wants a deli roll, but he was machmir for Yashin. And my wife said, no, no, no. It's the month of February right now, but the pastry dough has been in the freezer for months. So he said, oh, when did you buy it? She's like, I think maybe like October. She's like, so the famous Rabbi Daniel Sherman from the Upper West Side was my Shabbos guest and he was still single. And he then ate the deli roll. He was very excited to hear that the pastry was purchased months and months earlier than our Shabbos meal. So that was a good story. So it's a wonderful chumrah if you can. But again, it really does impact the lifestyle. I think my Rabbi, Moriv Rabbi Rameir Torsky Shlita, he is machmir, if I'm not mistaken, for Yashin. I was once at his house for Hanukkah. and he specifically had a loaf of bread with yashar. Again, I don't know if everyone assumes machmir or just him, whatever. But I did make an observation or two when I was by his home. But I don't know how many people really are machmir for yashan. But this amazing Rabbi Herman did a lot of work in his time. This Rav Yosef ben Harav Yoshua Herman. And now we learn the Ilai Nishmaso. So again, it's something to strive for. But again, the Aruch HaShulchan and Mishabura certainly have their justifications. And whether you want to be machmir or not, you certainly have room to rely upon. And that is the tone of the OU, the tone of the modern Orthodox community, is no need to be machmir. But there's certainly something to be praiseworthy, those who strive for a higher level of observance. At a minimum, I think my conclusion would be as follows. If you're at a Kiddush in the month of February, and there's like an Oreo cookie versus a Hamish brand, and you know one is for sure Yashan, and one is seemingly for sure not, why would you not, you know, why would you not choose the Yashan? You know, like why would you specifically pretend this doesn't exist? You know, so, you know, we shouldn't pretend this doesn't exist. That would be my conclusion. All right, let's dive in more.